Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Megan, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for holding it down last week. It was terrible. I was fully prepared to record Monday, and then all of a sudden, it was like a wave.
You guys, she stood up and looked at me and was like, I can't. I'm going to go home.
I have to go home. And Eric's like, okay. Okay, this is the best part. So it was some weird virus where, like, I went home and immediately started vomiting uncontrollably.
Oh, beautiful. Great. I love that visual.
So achy and feeling terrible. So Aaron came home from work and I was like, please just rub my back so I can fall asleep. And Aaron goes, I can't get sick, Megan. I was like, Aaron, please.
Well, I was going to say he's been sick too. So the two of you have just been like sharing this illness back and forth.
I was like, Aaron, please, I need this. He goes, oh, hold on. Now I'm already wearing a t-shirt. He comes in with a big beach blanket that he fetched from the closet and puts it over me and like sort of pokes at my back through the towel.
He has an interesting way of approaching things sometimes.
And then the next day, he started vomiting uncontrollably.
Oh, well, there he goes. He really tried to keep that separation. Like that blanket
didn't
was like
work.
Protection. No
didn't
protection.
Work. Yeah.
Well, today we have a lot to talk about. We have Vanderpump Rules.
Yes.
We have the next episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Jersey Reunion Part 1.
Yes. And Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Of course. Plus, Jackie Goldschneider from Real Housewives of New Jersey stopped by to talk about the reunion. And we talked to comedian and Housewives impersonator extraordinaire Amy Phillips.
But first, did you know the Real Housewives of New York City taglines dropped?
I did know, and I have some very strong reactions to them.
All right, let's listen to them.
I plead guilty to being fabulous. The only thing I'll settle for is more. People call me over the top, but lately, I prefer being a bottom.
Game, set. Now, I need a match.
When life gives me limes, I make margaritas.
If you got a problem with me, it's your problem.
Okay, so I feel like we need to give these some superlatives. So what was your favorite?
My favorite, I think, is Sonia's, only because it's so gay.
It's yep.
Like, she really is not even front. Like, she went right for, like, I'm a dom top. Like, this is it.
Luann's close second.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, whenever they, like, really lean into, like, their shenanigans and things that they've gotten into in the past, especially Luann, like, she has to have a laugh about it.
Right. Most meh tagline?
I'm not feeling Tinsley's.
Interesting. That's how I felt about Bethany's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just like we know, you know, skinny girl,
right,
I get it.
Right, I mean, I really like Dorinda's too, the whole, like, if you've got a problem with me, that's your problem. Like, it's a very Dorinda tagline. Ramona's got a solid one too. The only thing I'll settle for is more, as opposed to less, you know? Like,
yeah.
I think, I get it. I get what she's trying to say, but I think it could have been a little cheekier, perhaps.
Yeah, I love them when they're just so crazy.
I mean, Sonia's wins for like the craziest.
Yes.
The most like unexpected. Like, I think when I heard it, I had to like listen again and like double check that I wasn't hearing it incorrectly.
So good.
Good for you, Sonia.
Let's dive into Vanderpump Rules. Solvang Tripp.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen is drunkity drunk drunk drunk.
She is on one. I mean, it's crazy because nobody else seems to be anywhere near her level. Like, I feel like when you're wine tasting, generally everyone stays sort of at the same sort of consistency. Like, oh yeah, we had like four samples of wine, now the next place. Like, what happened to her that things got a little more out of control?
It's interesting because I feel like, yes, she got there faster than everyone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But by the end of the episode, like, Katie is also slurring heavily and
that's
being like,
true.
You're out of control.
Right, right.
Like, drunk people telling other drunk people they're drunk is just my favorite thing ever.
Absolutely. Well, and I think because, like, Kristen went so far and was starting to get pretty sloppy. I mean, we saw the little tumble that we've been waiting for from, like, the teaser trailer. And I think, like, Katie likes to take it upon herself to be the one to tell other people how they are, you know? Like, that seems to be a thing that Katie does pretty often. But it is just really funny to watch. And then also to think that Lala was sober the whole time.
I mean, why? Why would you want to? I am not that nice of a friend. If I'm not drinking, you're not drinking.
No.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I'm not, like, arranging a private jet for you. I'm not organizing a trip. Like, I'm gonna take myself somewhere and spend some time being sober. But yeah. No way.
And actually, because we were going to plan something with friends, you and I, Eric, and you were like, actually, I'm doing dry January. And right. We're like, all right, we'll move it. Because, like, that wouldn't be fun for you.
Right, right. Absolutely. And to clarify, it ended up being, like, dry 2.5 weeks. So we have been back to drinking again, which is great.
I might have set you up for failure by whispering, you're never going to make it.
Right. And I was like, you're right. Well, we have the girls in Solvang, and then we have the guys' night, which I really wanted to talk about, too, because things seem to get out of control. Not even pretty quickly, but it's just like it was almost inevitable. Like, we saw it coming.
You know who just really grossed me out this whole episode was Peter.
Really?
Just because I feel like it's such a gross thing to be like, hey, famous friends, come down to the bar with me as my wingman. Like, you have girlfriends, but just hang around me so right. that I'll get the
like, secondhand, like, yes, fame and recognition.
Exactly.
It's true. I mean, I feel bad because, you know, Peter is, like, the only single one. And, you know, they're trying to have a guy's night. But I think his intentions for the night were so different than everyone else's because all of them are in a relationship. So it's sort of like, yeah, they want to be, you want to be a good wingman. Or what was it? Schwartz couldn't even say it. He was like, wingmanging, wingmanging. But, you know, you want to be there for Peter, but it's sort of also like, okay, well, why don't we just, like, reel it in and just do a guy's thing? Like, they could have gone up to the room and played poker,
yeah,
had some cigars.
Sure.
But the second those girls get involved, everyone's spirals out of control.
It was funny to see Jax's reaction to it. Like, Bo is also in a relationship with someone who wouldn't love the fact that random girls are in the room. But he was, like, kind of calm about it. Jax was freaking out.
I just don't feel comfortable. I want everyone to have a good time. I'm not telling them what to do. And if they decide to bring them up to the room, that's fine. I just feel like I'm in a kind of a little tough situation. I feel like I should tell her.
It's only Peter's going to have a good time.
Well, I don't know that. And I don't, it's not my business. I'm, like, sweating right now because I'm nervous about it. I hate to be, am I being a baby?
No, dude, because I get it.
Jack looks like a reformed junkie in a crack house. He's just like, oh, I'm sweating.
I've been a really shitty person in my life. So I'm trying to be the person that Brittany wants me and the person I want to be. And I just feel like this would be a step back. Yes. See, if I don't tell her.
Yes.
I think Bo is the one to say it. He was like, this is like putting a recovered junkie in a crack house. Like, it was truly like Jax was so just like nervous and just like twitchy about being around single girls that you're just sort of like, oh my God, like he shouldn't be putting himself in those situations. But also, like, you're never going to be able to avoid those situations for the rest of your life. So he needs to learn how to deal with that. And, like, I appreciate that they ended up calling Stassi and Brittany to let them know, but I think that backfired.
It's true, but I think that's only because they had been drinking.
Yeah.
I think, actually, their approach to calling them and getting ahead of this was the right move.
Right. That is true. That is true. Because all it takes is for one post on social media, somebody's Instagram story, for them to see it. And, I mean, the girls already kind of got a clue of what was going on because Carter was texting Kristen, and that's what sort of sent her spiraling by the end of the night.
Which, by the way, what were in the texts?
I don't know. And the other thing I wanted to talk to you about is Carter as a whole, but we'll get to that a little bit later. But this whole, like, dynamic that, you know, Kristen has with James and how against him she is and how this vendetta just won't go away. How do you think that makes Carter feel? Because he was the one, I think, to text her, like, James is here, by the way. And that's what sort of set her off. And in addition to the thing that he got the job, you know, at Pump or whatever.
Right. If you hate someone that much, there's something there, feelings-wise.
Absolutely. And, like, we learn later on in the episode that Carter seems to kind of be a shit boyfriend. But how do you think that makes him feel for Kristen to still be so obsessed with her ex and very vocal about it to him? Do you know what I mean?
Why do you think she's so obsessed with James?
I don't know. It's like, I don't even think it's one of those things where it's like she's still in love with him. Like, I think she really genuinely hates him. But the fact that she is still so affected by everything that he does or everything that happens to him seems to be very unhealthy. And it's like she needs to put that energy somewhere else. And like, especially with this whole situation that we learned about with Carter, like, she doesn't seem to know how to pick the right dudes.
Okay, so like, it was very shocking at the end of the episode to hear Katie and Stassi. Well, Stassi like slipped up and, you know, said that Carter doesn't pay rent.
Right.
He doesn't give a f-. He doesn't pay for anything. He doesn't pay rent. He doesn't do anything. He literally does nothing. Nothing.
The beans have been spilled.
Oh my God, this was not my place. And now I feel like, oh my God. Well, that was not my place. Right. That was not my f-ing place. That was not my place. I feel so weird right now.
It's fine. You Listen, know, just go with it.
That is going to come out at some point.
She talks about it with me too. I know it too. Everybody knows it. Everyone knows it, but no one says it. This is what she's so upset about. Because you know what? It would be one thing if she was paying for everything and he was nice to her.
Yeah, you're right.
If he wanted to go to f-ing therapy when she asked him to go to couples therapy, then that would be different. But he doesn't want to do any of it.
It was very surprising to me because I've interviewed Kristen for the podcast and he came and talked to him a little bit and he seems so nice.
I mean, it seems like he's not really pulling his weight, but he's still like going out and buying drinks and hanging out with all the guys. But Kristen seems to be the one who's supporting. Like, that doesn't seem fair. And Kristen's brought it up a few times this season that like they're not having sex or they're always fighting and she just wants to ignore him when she gets home. So it's sort of like, if he's not pulling his weight and you're unhappy, what's going on here?
We'll see. I mean, it definitely seems like we're going to get really into it next week.
I also have to say, I know that we've talked a lot about the editing this season and how fun it's been. And there was that one segment with Sheena saying, Rob. I really, really appreciate
it. Yeah,
it was
amazing.
Like to like a beautiful like symphony or whatever. I really appreciated that. Let's talk about Real Housewives of New Jersey Reunion Part 1.
Yeah.
So I have to start by saying Marlene, my girl, my favorite all season, got a little shout out right at the beginning. And what I loved about that is like my sort of prediction that I was like, she's so much just a part of the family. I don't even know if she's good at her job. Margaret pretty much confirms it. She's like, she forgets things. She loses stuff. She doesn't know where anything is, but I love her. She's part of the family.
Totally.
I love it. I'm so happy about that. But after that, you know, after all of the pleasantries were done, we really saw Margaret and Jennifer get into it, and later on, Jackie and Teresa.
I have to say, just Teresa really kind of annoyed me in this reunion because I felt like she came in so hot. And for Jackie,
mm-hmm.
Jackie is like the least offensive housewife.
You're not going to win a war of words with me.
Well, what you guys will hear later on in Jackie's interview, which is coming up, she kind of mentions that Teresa was a little bit upset or mad about something when she arrived, and Jackie kind of feels like maybe she just took it out on her.
Yeah, because it definitely felt like she was overreacting to certain things.
What'd you call me?
You're a cold-hearted bitch. That's why you don't even talk to your own sister.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think she just doesn't like Jackie and doesn't want her around. And I think we see a lot of Teresa reacting, being like, if you don't get along with me, like, you don't see anyone in this room who I don't get along with.
White trash bitch.
I really wanted Melissa to be like, I'm still here.
Right. Oh, that's so true. She could have. But I think Melissa was trying to stay out of it because, you know, Melissa was sort of in the middle of the original confrontation between Jackie and Teresa with the whole Joe thing and, you know, controlling your husband and blah, blah, blah. So I think Melissa, as much as she's friends with Jackie, has tried to just like stay out of that situation because she knows Teresa will just come for her.
Yeah. And at the end of this reunion, Teresa had, mm-hmm. you know, she kind of snapped at Melissa for Melissa to say, don't talk to me.
Right. Right. I also wanted to go back and talk a little bit about Jennifer and how she and Margaret kind of get into it again. And even at one point, like, Andy calls out Jennifer for being like, you are a little braggy. Like, you are a little bit like that.
And because she's saying, you guys focused on my 16 bathrooms, but it's like, I also have a basketball court. I also have an elevator.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, she also just brings up Oklahoma again.
I never had a group of girlfriends asking me to go away since I've been married. Like, hell to the yes. I mean, I wasn't proud that it was Oklahoma. Could have liked to go somewhere else, maybe Vegas or something.
Okay, let's stick our foot in our mouth one more time.
Everything that I envisioned Oklahoma to be was the case.
And really? Really? What did you envision Oklahoma to be? Why don't you insult half the country?
Is that an insult? Why is it an insult to call something a farmland?
It's not a farmland. First of all, it's a ranch. Farms grow vegetables, FYI.
I went there and I had to play Russian roulette on picking a room. I didn't leave my family and my kids just to come here and sleep in a trailer where it takes 45 minutes for the cops to come so they can come find me in the woods. No thanks. Like, that's not normal to me.
What's normal to you? Being catered to 24 hours a day?
Yeah, maybe that's my normal.
And I don't even think she realizes it, but she's, like, again, insulting Polly's house, where Polly lives. Like, and, you know, Margaret's trying to clarify. She's like, first of all, it's a ranch. It's not a farm. Like, get it right. And, you know, of course, not everyone's going to know the difference between a ranch and a farm and whatever. But it's just sort of like, I don't think Jennifer knows how to dig herself out of a hole. She only knows how to dig herself further in.
Right.
I mean, even from last week's interview, she kind of explained it a little bit of, like, her perspective. And I started to understand it a little bit more, but she just doesn't really, I think, understand what she's saying always. I also wanted to point out there was a really awkward moment between Melissa and Dolores, and I don't know if it was a little bit of the editing, but Andy asks Dolores, do you like her? And there's sort of this weird pause, and Melissa's like, and then Dolores is like, yeah,
do you like her?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. Mm-hmm.
Just admit it. You hate her.
No, I don't hate Melissa. I like to bust her vault. I like to say things. I can't help it. It's fine. I'm not going to stop.
But I wasn't convinced by it.
And not only that, she said, I just like to make fun of her and I'm not going to stop.
Right.
That's not okay.
Right. I like to bust her balls. It's like, okay, well, it's one thing to bust somebody's balls if you're friends with them and, like, you guys are on the same, like, level. And you know that you like each other and it's sort of that's your rapport. That's great. But I feel like Dolores, we're not totally sure where she stands with Melissa. So it's like if you're busting her balls, that might just actually translate to, like, you don't like her.
Right. So going back to how Teresa is just kind of mean, I almost want to say, in this episode, what did you think of her making fun of Jackie for at one time being a supporter of Teresa and going to a book signing?
It was very weird because I think Teresa's been trying to make a point all season and she maybe just hasn't eloquently said it, that she thinks that Jackie is like a wannabe, like that she's been trying to get on the show. You know, she like is obsessed with Teresa in this weird way and then throws out that stalker accusation. But it's sort of like, to Jackie's point, she's like, well, I was walking by your book signing and like I was a fan of the show. So, yeah, I was going to stop in and take a picture or whatever. Like, she obviously has not been stalking Teresa.
But also, what's the alternative that someone doesn't watch the show? Like, and I'm not talking just housewives in general.
Right.
What, you look down on people that watch the show or that come to your book signings and are fans? That's not a good message to send.
Right. And I think Teresa tried to like backtrack on that and be like, no, that's not what I'm saying. But it's sort of like, well, that's what you kind of just said.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
I think in a way, I don't even like to know if a housewife was a fan before they came on the show, because I'm almost like, so you've watched it. You sort of know what you're getting into. Like, it's a different experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the show's been on forever.
Right.
So we're going to run out of people in Jersey.
Absolutely, for sure. I also wanted to point out there was this comment that Teresa made about, like, did you eat today?
Oh, did you eat today? You look hungry. I gasped at my desk when I saw that because Andy had already talked to Jackie about her eating disorder. And then, thank God, Dolores speaks Teresa and was like, that's not what she means. And
right.
Then Jennifer goes, she means thirsty. And it's like, okay, I actually believe that. I think Teresa doesn't know the expression. But come on.
No, I 100% agree. I mean, I think going back to what Teresa was sort of, her perspective on Jackie being like a wannabe and like, don't cross me because you might not come back next season. Like, she definitely thinks that maybe Jackie is thirsty, which is what she meant instead of hungry. But the fact that she wouldn't even have put it together that it's like offensive to say to someone who's recovering. And then, you know, she's even sitting next to Dolores, who revealed an eating disorder earlier this season. So it's kind of like, all right, you got to think before you speak. And I think when Jackie was sort of like, this isn't the Teresa show, and Teresa's like, yes, it is. You know, Teresa definitely went into this reunion with like so much almost arrogance, thinking that like nobody can touch her. And she's kind of not even owning up to really anything at this point that she's been through with Jackie.
I will say, in that moment, like, go back and watch it. As soon as the camera pans to Jackie after Teresa says, did you eat today? You can see for a second, it's like the blood drained from her face, mm-hmm. because it's like, is she really coming after me for this?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. You can feel it in the room, I feel like. There's like a moment where everyone knows that that was like crossing a line.
Yeah.
And even Andy was just like, what? Like, absolutely not. Also, on a positive note, shout out to Andy's hair.
Loved Andy's hair.
It looks so good.
Yes. It's funny because the reunions, he always looks so different. Like, it's always small things, but... yeah, loved his hair.
I mean, there's only so much you can do as a man. You can put on different, like, suits and tie combinations, and these women are coming in, like, ball gowns with, like, sequins, so he's got to, like, spruce it up a little bit.
Speaking of, can you please tell the story you were telling me earlier about when you were in the wedding?
Oh, God, yes. Okay, so we had done something on camera earlier today, and we put some, like, powder on or whatever, and we were talking this morning about, you know, makeup, and someone made a joke like, oh yeah, Eric, put on a full face of makeup before you get on camera. And I was like, well, funny you should say that, because I was in a wedding over the summer. My friend Kelly got married, and, you know, being on the bride's side, I was going to be in pictures with all of the bridesmaids and who are all done up in makeup. So I didn't want to be photographed like with absolutely nothing. Like, I wouldn't look right compared to the rest of the girls. So I, you know, asked the makeup artist in between when some of the girls were, you know, done or whatever, you know, can you just put like a little bit of makeup, just like something so that I can be, you know, on camera, whatever. And she's like, oh yeah, I'll just do a little bit. And, you know, a few minutes went by and I was like, this is taking a little bit longer than I thought it would. And she's like, okay, well, that's, you know, if you want any more, let me know. Like, that's pretty good. And I was like, okay. So I went and looked in the mirror, and it was like full Capital Hunger Games. Like, I looked like Stanley Tucci. Like, I was just like, oh my God. And when I walked over to the cabin where I was staying to see Danny or whatever, he opened the door and he looked like shocked. He was like, oh my God. He was like, you look like a corpse. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, you can't tell me that now that I have a full face of makeup on and it's not going anywhere for the rest of the day.
But why a corpse? Like, was the foundation too light, or?
It was too dark almost, I think. Oh. And if you got, like, if you look at my Instagram, you can scroll far enough back to see me in like the wedding. And I have a green blazer on, and there's a picture of me and Danny and Kelly, my friend. And, like, you can see that it's just, like, my face. Like, someone told me after the wedding they thought that I had gotten Botox because it looked so different. And I was just like, oh, my God. But you know what? I kind of thought I looked good.
What a great note to end on. Okay, so I was so upset that I missed the premiere of Beverly Hills, like, to talk about it.
I know.
Because, you know, this is my franchise.
Yeah.
I love it so much. So I'm excited to talk about it today. I feel like it should have been called Food Issues. The whole episode had like a lot of weird food stuff.
I noticed that too. And I think some of it was like unintentional. Like,
totally.
Off to the side, like Erica would be like, can't eat anymore. We're packing to go on this trip, you know? But after that whole conversation we saw between Lisa and Amelia, it kind of felt weird.
Totally. But I do think, I do like that they're showing it, because where I noticed it was when they go to Lisa Rinna's event for Butterlove, mm-hmm. and they're making the cake, and they go and there's like these beautiful edible chocolate flour, and like a lot of the girls are like, I'm going to take it home.
Right.
But I like that they're showing it, because that is very, I don't know.
It's very
accurate.
It's very present in, you know, LA, Beverly Hills in particular. You know, I mean, it's something that affects people everywhere, obviously. But I feel like that's kind of the point that, you know, Lisa was trying to drill home, is being like, you are more affected by it here, because like Teddy shared her story about when she was like going to maybe be an actor and her manager told her to lose weight. So it's kind of happening all over, you know, that industry and that part of, you know, LA. So it's good that they are talking about it and putting it out there.
Yeah. When we kind of have that first lunch with Dorit and Erica and Lisa Rinna, and Dorit starts talking about when she went to parties in high school and would do keg stands.
Oh my God, I would give anything to see Dorit do a keg stand today.
I know.
I really appreciated Erica too being like, I'm going to have a beer, you know?
Just whatever's in a bottle.
Yeah, and she's drinking a beer and then she's like, I don't even know if I have a house there. Do I have a house in Lake Tahoe? Like, that is my permanent mood.
I think we have a house in Tahoe. I have a few houses I don't go to.
Erica, you can we wait.
I think we have a place in Tahoe.
We have. I think I have a place in Palm Desert.
Oh, yeah, I do.
You
yes.
too.
I do. And one of them, I'm a neighbor to Kyle.
That's right.
Funny. You know that, right? I've never been in it.
That is, I can you imagine a life where you're not sure if you have a house somewhere because you have so many?
No, I'm like, do I have a pair of gloves? I don't even know. Like, I forget what kind of, like, accessories I own. Never mind a whole house. Like, I'm not sure if I have a house in Tahoe. Come on.
But they do mention the robberies, and I wanted to ask you this last week. Are the robberies in LA, like, is that an always prevalent thing?
I kind of mentioned it last week. Is there another bling ring in action?
Because why does anyone choose to live there if you're getting robbed all the time?
I mean, I think it's just those houses are easy targets only because people know they can do one hit and get so much stuff. I'm talking like I have like insider information.
Mean, really?
But it's true. If you think about it, I mean, you get like $5,000-$10,000 handbags from a house in the hills and you're set, you know, like. So it kind of makes sense, but I do feel like there must be something happening lately, like a bling ring situation, because it seems weird that they're all so connected and like close together.
Yeah.
But nobody's talking about a bling ring. I need to know.
I do like, though, that you're sort of making the case for why one should be in a bling ring, because you're like, you really just need one good night,
right,
and you're set for the year.
I'm starting to like think in my head, I'm like, can I get away with this? No, I can't. No, I'm not going down for that. I also wanted to talk to you about what I loved was the contrast of this episode's opening scene versus last.
Mm.
Because, you know, last week opened with that huge fight between Kyle and Lisa and Ken, and really is like showing us what everything is going to be building up to this season. But then this episode opens and it's like Lisa on laughing gas and Kyle like with her wonky eye, and they're just like laughing and having a good time. And seeing that, I was like, oh my God, I don't want to lose that this season. And I think that's what's going to happen.
That's why I love that. And I will say, whenever I'm telling people, they're like, what's your favorite franchise and why? I'm like, Beverly Hills has the most glamour, but it also has the most darkness in mm-hmm. a lot of ways. And I think that, you know, last week's episode, like, yes, we're building to something that's not good. And, like, there's something intriguing about that.
Absolutely. I mean, I also wanted to bring up to you one of the reasons I love Beverly Hills is because of the, like, proximity to Hollywood and all these crazy connections that the girls have.
Yes,
like,
yes.
They talk about it in, you know, the first episode, how obviously Denise was married to Charlie Sheen, but everyone else has a weird connection to him. Like, and speaking of people stealing things, like, Lisa talks about how her car got stolen, so did Charlie's, like, all this crazy stuff. But what I love that came up in this episode was the Nicolette Sheridan connection.
So good.
It's
I had
so
no
random.
Idea that Aaron was married to her.
No.
Denise's boyfriend was married to Nicolette Sheridan, still married to Nicolette. And Harry was married to her for a hot minute. So there's that. So yeah, we have some intertwining stuff going on, don't we?
I had no clue. And I don't think I knew that Harry was.
I did know that.
Oh.
But yeah, that is so interesting.
And wasn't it, Rinna was saying that they went to a Michael Bolton concert together and that's when Nicolette met Michael Bolton?
It was confusing the way she said it. Harry was in Canada at the time, so Nicolette went. And then she went to the concert and then left with Michael Bolton.
And was like, sorry, Harry Hamlin, I'm with Michael Bolton now.
Yes.
I mean, picking Michael Bolton over Harry Hamlin, I don't know about that.
Exactly. So what does Aaron do for a living?
I have no idea. I mean, I appreciated the way she like explained it because I felt like I just almost wrapped my head around what she was saying. And then I was kind of like, I don't know. But you know what it is? It's one of those like strange Southern California, like hippy-dippy type of jobs. You know right, what I mean?
Totally.
I mean, it's something to do with chakras, maybe. Something to do with energy balance. Something to do with, like, medical.
Right. Honestly, the way he looks, he could be unemployed.
I think we'll get some clarification at some point what he does. I also loved that we got the mini, like, Charlie cameo, because I wasn't sure how much he was going to be a part of the series. Because, I mean, she does have, what, 2 kids with him. So I was like, is he going to show up? Like, how is it going to be? And he was such, like, a dad in the way, like, his daughter called and was like, if a guy asked me to, like, the dance, can I go? And he's like, well, I trust your judgment, you know? Like, I think that, I was like, wow, he sounds so rational for Charlie Sheen.
But it's funny, because I was just thinking, how many dads trusted their daughter's judgment and they picked Charlie?
Right, right. It's so true. I mean, it's so true. But you know what? I think...
Let's see me date.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and how old was the daughter? I mean, she was like, you have to wait till you're 16. It's like, if she's 15, let her go to a dance.
Yeah.
It's not dating. It's going to a dance. You can go with your friends. I also wanted to resurrect something that we have done in the past, and that is the most Erica Jane moment of the week.
Yes!
So I didn't get to do one last week, so I'm going to do like a pretty easy one this week, and then we'll get into some bigger ones later on in the season. But I have to say the most Erica Jane moment this week was the confessional look with the leopard shirt and then like the windblown like Marilyn Monroe hair.
Yes, but didn't you get a little bit of like Rena vibes from the look?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I definitely perceived it at first as like a Marilyn Monroe, like old Hollywood, but like windblown a little bit. But
I don't
know. Right.
So maybe it's the leopard. I don't know.
I wonder, I mean, we've seen in the teaser, there's something about like Rena and Erica. Like, are they like forming into one supreme
maybe.
Housewife? Because like, we see Rena dressing up like Erica for Halloween, and then she tries on that like mini bob when they're going to a costume party. So I don't know. Maybe there's something there. Real Housewives of Atlanta. We're back from Tokyo, finally. I mean, I enjoyed all of the Tokyo episodes, but I feel like we were there for kind of a while.
We were in Tokyo for a while.
It was a bit. I'm glad we're back in Atlanta and things are kind of going along again. So the first thing I wanted to bring up to you was we see Portia and Dennis in the beginning of the episode going shopping for some baby items. Mm-hmm. And they come across a stroller that is over $1,200. That is the same cost as Eva's flip-flops that she was wearing in Tokyo, which is crazy, which we talked about already. But then Portia and Dennis talk about, well, we need to get 4 of them.
That's insane.
That is $5,000 worth of strollers. Do you really need that many? It's crazy. But you know what? It does bring them to the conversation of, well, should we think about moving in together? And they decide to.
But babe, no, we really got to make sense of this now. When you start talking about getting 4 car seats, 4 this, 4 that, I mean, what are we going to do? Do 4 cribs? Like, I'm saying, like, are we going to be in one place? Or are we going to really be in 2 places, for real?
I think we need 2 places for your job. I mean, I'm committed to being the Luke Moore.
Like, your place now, it's like a bachelor pad. I mean, it's where you were when you were, like, single, doing what you used to be doing.
So you want me to sell my place in the city? Is that what you're saying?
You really want to bring your family into your bachelor pad?
Okay.
So you're going to sell your place?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm happy for them. I know it's been a little bit of a journey with us and Dennis. I think at the beginning we were a little bit like, who is this guy? But I've really grown to enjoy him and appreciate him.
And I also want to say people make fun of Portia a lot for like sort of her ditzy moments, but she's being really smart in this relationship in terms of, you can move into my house with me because mm-hmm. that house is something that I worked really hard to get and almost didn't have because of a past relationship, so I'm not going to give that up now.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Portia says it herself. She's like, I am like a phoenix who has risen from the ashes, and it's so true. We saw her hit some really low points in the past, and like right now, everything is coming together for her the way that she's always wanted.
Yeah.
I do have to say, too, you know, watching Portia go through this baby journey, I do miss Kenya and the fact that we're kind of missing out on her baby story. I mean, we're able to keep up with it a little bit on Instagram and what she's been posting and like that sort of stuff, but it's making me miss Kenya a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I am curious what's happening in her relationship.
Well, we saw on Valentine's Day her husband shut down a whole restaurant for her and the baby, so.
But was it his restaurant? Because then it's a little easier to do.
Well, either way, you know, this is a bit of a loss there. I think it's romantic.
But we also get the proposal in this episode.
Yes, which we were laughing about earlier because, honestly, I love like a sentimental moment. Like I love when someone plans and executes so well, especially when there's all these moving parts like helicopters and like all of this sort of stuff. But it did feel a little bit awkward with Lil Mo there.
Love you.
I mean, I've dreamt about how he was going to propose. I thought he was going to propose in Miami. Oh, baby, this is beautiful.
Happy birthday.
I thought he'd propose here.
Then what is that?
I thought he'd propose there.
No, stop it.
I appreciate you.
But for him to do it like this with the helicopter and, you know, Lil Mo and all the flowers and... Can we talk about that ring? Like, he did that. Thank you, boo.
It was fine until she's, like, singing at Portia and she's like, are you ready? He's ready. And it was just like, it felt like when you're at a restaurant and the mariachi band comes up to play and it's just like, okay, but I can't really continue with what I'm doing.
Right.
So.
Right. Because there was sort of a pause where she was like not done with the song, but like we all knew what was coming and she kind of just had to like finish singing and they're just like standing there waiting. And like, obviously you're waiting for him to get down on the knee, but I really loved the moment where he was like, are you ready? Like, he gave her a second to be like, I'm ready to, like, switch and, like, make this about us. Like, it was, I think he did such a good job. I love these romantic gestures that he has for her. Like, I think it was so beautiful. And it's like, Portia's wanted this for so long. And that ring.
Dear God, the ring.
I cannot even believe. I mean, it, like, her sister Lauren makes the joke, like, that your that's the size of your baby right now.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. But I'm very happy for Portia. I can't wait for the gender reveal party that's coming up. Like, everything seems to be going so well for her, and I'm so happy.
I feel like on the other side, though, is this Nene and Greg situation.
Mm-hmm.
That's been very hard to watch, I feel, because I interviewed Nene at the beginning of the season, and she had made comments about how she's not necessarily cut out to be a caretaker, and that's been the really hard part about having a husband who has cancer. But it also was interesting for her to be like, before he got diagnosed, it wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
She just seemed really defeated in this episode. Like, she's mentally given up.
Definitely. I mean, we saw her really affected leaving Tokyo, like, towards the end of the trip. I mean, she was, you never really see Nene get that upset. And, like, even Cynthia couldn't even
didn't
really
know
console
how to,
her.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cynthia didn't know what to do in that situation. And then, you know, this episode, like, it shows that there are, and she kind of talks about that there were things before his diagnosis that were kind of falling apart in their relationship. And now that's all pushed to the side because his health is the number one priority for everyone. So, you know, Nene's taking on a lot. Obviously, Greg is going through so much, but it's sort of like the foundation that their relationship is built on is crumbling, and it's very top heavy with this whole health issue that he's going through.
Right. And then, of course, how she's being supported is coming into question, as we see in the previews for next episode with Marlo.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, I feel like Marlo is a really good friend to her, so I'm very interested to see what it is that Nene's upset about, but it could be something where she's just lashing out. I don't know. It looks like pretty crazy.
I can't wait.
I also wanted to talk about a little bit of like an uncomfortable situation with Candy and Todd and this whole surrogate.
Ugh.
Like, I feel like Todd's being really weird about it.
I feel like he's being such a dude about it.
Yeah.
Where he's just like, I don't know if I want to do it or not, but like, I don't really want to be involved in the process. And it's like, of course you're going to put the emotional burden on her.
Right.
And then when they're in the interview with the surrogate, this possible surrogate, and Dr. Jackie, and Candy starts crying, and Todd's like, it's not really an emotional thing. She's like, it's not for you, but it is for me.
Yeah, you have to, he has to let her feel what she needs to feel with this experience because it is a lot on her. And I think just from what she said about not being able to carry has affected her. And so, like, every step of this surrogate situation is only going to get more complicated and they're going to have to get more involved. So Todd needs to like ante up and be ready to be there to support Candy and also support the person who may be carrying his future children.
Right.
I don't know. I hope everything goes well for them. I also have to say, Eva, why three wedding dresses?
Yeah, really could cut the stress out by just eliminating one of them.
I don't understand. Like, I like the idea of a ceremony dress and a reception dress, but then she has a what, like, end of night dress to
switch
into?
Well, like the farewell dress.
Oh, my God. Come on. I mean, you know, I feel bad. Weddings are stressful and whatever, but it's true. Like, you need to cut where you can to, like, relieve some of that stress. And I think adding a third dress to the mix is just overkill.
1,000%.
We also see her getting into, like, next week with, like, the budget, and they're, like, 50 grand over budget. It's like, you need to cut some costs somewhere because that is out of control.
That's out of control.
You know, Megan, I'm always looking for that perfect fit, but maybe you can speak a little more to third love.
I'll be honest with you guys. Bras are kind of the bane of my existence. I don't really love them. But found a brand that I can get behind, and that's Third Love Bras. They really help make sure that you're wearing the right size. Spoiler alert, you're probably not. So one of the ways they do that is they offer a fit finder quiz. Over 10 million women have already taken it. I took it. It's great. It helps you understand why your breast shape matters when finding the right bra. And one thing that's really amazing is a lot of people fall into a half size. So they offer double the number of sizes that most other brands offer. They offer cups from A through H and bands up to 48. 50% of women fall in between standard cup sizes. So that is why Third Love is known for their half cup sizing. My favorite thing is probably the tagless labels. There's no itching. And they have straps that won't slip. Ultra soft smoothing fabrics and lightweight, super thin memory foam cups. Third Love's team of expert fit stylists are dedicated to helping you find the perfect fit. So if you don't love their product, returns and exchanges are free and easy. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they're offering listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/dailydish now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/dailydish for 15% off today. So thankfully, we got a chance to talk to Jackie Goldschneider from Real Housewives of New Jersey because she was fresh off of the reunion. Mm-hmm. And we got all of her thoughts on what took place.
Here's that interview.
Everyone, we are here with Jackie Goldschneider. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
And you came at the beginning of the season, but so I'm happy to have you here again because obviously a lot has happened.
Mm-hmm. A lot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. How has it been going through your first season as a Real Housewife?
I think it's been amazing. I have no complaints. I've loved watching myself. I love seeing my family on screen. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. And I, you know, some people, you know, say watch out for the editing. I think that, you know, Bravo has done me justice. I love it.
Mm, that's good to know.
Yeah, that's great to know.
Any misconceptions you want to clear up now that we're sort of wrapping up this year?
Not really. I mean, the only thing I would say is that some people thought that maybe I was, that I didn't empathize with people as much as I could. Based on the fact that I, you know, brought up Sharice's husband being in jail or that I wrote an article about Jennifer's children. And it's not true at all. Nothing I ever do is has been meant to hurt anybody. I would get nothing out of that. There were just things that I didn't that I personally, you know, was coming at as matter of fact. And so hurting people is never my intention. I would never do that for a storyline, just hurt somebody. So if anybody thought that, that's probably what I would want to clear up, because that's not the kind of person I want to be portrayed as.
We heard that at the reunion, which you guys recently shot, that you and Teresa have a bit of drama.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I think that Teresa learned an important lesson, which is that you cannot win a war of words with me. I will take you down. So I think that Teresa learned that.
Well, so we saw you guys kind of resolve your issues towards the end of the season, but then with the reunion, what happened in between? Was there anything in particular?
No. I think that when you watch the season, you see the things that people are saying about you in their interviews and, you know, when you're not present. And maybe that triggered her a little bit, hearing me discuss, you know, what happened with other people. So maybe she was a little more on edge when we got to reunion, but I think she gets really hot and bothered by the fact that Melissa and I are good friends. And for some reason, that just gets under her skin. So I think that when she saw us sitting next to each other at the reunion on the couch, I think like something about it just triggered her and she was in a bad mood and she just started, you know what I equate it to? It's like if you go on a diet and you're like, you wake up Monday morning, you're like, I'm going to be really good. And then like you have a bite of like something chocolate and you're like, well, fuck it. Let me just throw the whole day away. So she started off in like a tiff with somebody at the reunion. And then it was like, well, I'm already being an asshole. So fuck it. Let me just go in hard on Jackie. And like it backfired on her. I will say that. But she tried. Yeah.
Wow. So did you and Teresa ever end up talking more about, we know that, you know, obviously her situation and you mentioned your family's legal issues. Did you guys ever kind of connect on that any more than we saw?
We did a little bit. We talked about it a little and I explained to her that that was part of the reason why I wanted to go to law school and pursue a legal career. And she said that Gia was actually in the same situation, that she wanted to go to law school because she wanted to fight against, you know, the injustice that she perceived. And I told her that I would love to talk to her if Gia ever wanted to talk to me. I mean, I don't practice anymore, but I, you know, certainly did for a long time. So we did connect on that. And then we didn't discuss it anymore after that. But, you know, I'd still, you know, always talk to Gia about anything. I don't, you know, hold anything against anyone's children, obviously.
How old were you when your parents went through that?
I was older already. I was in college. And, you know, they got very lucky. They didn't really spend much time. I mean, my mother was just house arrest, but my dad really didn't spend much time away. And he wasn't even in prison. He was just a halfway house. So, but I think the sentencing portion was the scariest part because that could be up to, you know, the guidelines are up to like 20 years. But so we got really lucky, but, I was older already, certainly older than Teresa's children.
So are you and Jennifer okay now, given everything that happened with the article?
Yeah, I think me and Jennifer, you know, we put the article issue to rest. I think that maybe there's just some small piece of her that, you know, doesn't fully trust that, like, she can invite me somewhere and like, I won't, you know, write something about it, but I mean, I think that we're fine with each other. We really are. Definitely.
Were there any other, perhaps, housewives on the show that you wrote about, but it went under the radar?
You know, everything in my life inspires me. So there's definitely bits and pieces of things that I've written about that incorporate things I've learned from the people in all parts of my life, including the housewives. But nothing that anyone would ever pick up on. So probably not, but like little things just about life in general.
Yeah. Totally, yeah.
Well, I think everyone would want an update on what's happening with your sister.
So my sister, we did make up and it was really good over the summer. We saw each other. She invited me over a few times with the kids. And then it slowed down a little, but we still, you know, we can text each other now, which is the important part, to have an open line of communication. So we are not best friends. I won't pretend that for a second, but we have an open line of communication now, which is really what I wanted. I needed to be able to say, hey, let's get the kids together, or hey, let's plan mommy's 70th birthday that's coming up in March. And so we have that, and that's important. And you know, it goes in ebbs and flows. Sometimes we're like, hey, let's get together for lunch. And sometimes we'll go like 2 months with like not talking to each other at all. But like I said, there is that line of communication. So it's a it's 100 times better than it ever was.
Well, and we saw, you know, in the finale, your mom gets first over that great makeover.
Oh, it
she
was
looked
so cute, right? It was so great. I love that scene.
So
really
she must
do.
Also be thrilled that you guys are in touch again. That was something she always wanted.
Yeah, she is. I mean, I think she wishes we were, you know, a little more gung-ho about, you know, getting together. But, you know, the fact that, so like I said, her 70th birthday is coming up, and before this, I mean, there's just no chance that we would have been together for that. And if we were together, it wouldn't have been something that we planned. We both had a hand in planning, and we would have stayed on opposite sides of the room. But now we are both planning it together, and we're going to be together in the same room and all to be taking pictures together. And whether or not my sister and I are best friends, the fact that we're together and all our kids are together and that it's pleasant is just a lot more than we've ever had before.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. Well, so of all the housewives, who are you talking to?
I see Margaret all the time, and I text with Margaret almost every day. I love Margaret so much. And I talk and text with Melissa a fair amount. Not as much as Margaret, because Margaret and I live right near each other. But I talk and text with Melissa a fair amount, too. And I'm seeing Melissa next week, and I mean, I just love her. So Margaret and Melissa, my friendship with them was such an added bonus from this. I mean, I knew Margaret before, but I mean, our friendship has just grown immensely. When you are a housewife with somebody, it's like a sisterhood, you know, like you just bond over that. So,
yeah. Well, and you're with Jennifer today.
Yeah.
In the office.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's really fun. We don't get to spend that much time together. So it's nice spending the day with Jennifer. Yeah.
So one of the big things from this season that we saw is sort of Danielle and her relationship with Marty and everything that happened with Margaret. So were you surprised to see how it ended up unfolding in terms of like where their relationship went after the season ended?
No, to be honest, I was not surprised that Margaret and Danielle stopped speaking to each other. I was surprised in the first place that they ever had such a strong friendship, because I think they are very, very different people. So I'm not surprised at all that it imploded. I'm just surprised that it ever existed in the first place.
What about the status of Marty and Danielle's relationship now? Did that surprise you?
I mean, yes, it surprised me that it happened so quickly, because when I first met Danielle, she was really over the moon about Marty, and he seemed to be over the moon about her, and I didn't know them at all. So I really thought that they were genuinely in love with each other, and I can't say that they weren't, you know, but in my life, I'm not used to seeing relationships start and end that quickly. So that surprised me, but you know, I really didn't know her at all. So I don't know. I feel bad for both of them.
Yeah, it's quite a situation. Mm-hmm, I mean, we saw it kind of really build to a head in the finale when Marty got pushed in the pool.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? I remember my only thought was, oh, my God, his cell phone is probably in his pocket and just got destroyed.
That was
my first thought. Yeah. I mean, how terrible.
I know. And he's walking through Jennifer's house with, like, clothes dripping everywhere.
So but I got to say, if you're going to start with somebody, don't do it on the edge of a pool, right? I mean, like, use your brain. If you're gonna piss somebody off, step away from the pool.
Yeah. Also, don't have a fight on a rooftop. You know?
Right, right. Exactly. You know.
Well, just to end things, give our fans a tease of what they can expect from the reunion.
Oh my goodness. I hope you are sitting down, because it is explosive. The reunion definitely caught me off guard. So what can you expect? Expect a lot of fighting. That's it. A lot of fighting.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Jackie.
You know, we hear a lot about self-care these days, and whether that means for you getting a massage or binging your favorite reality TV show, nothing is as invaluable as talking to a trained professional.
For those of you who might feel like you don't have someone to talk to, if there's something that's interfering with your happiness, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. You can connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. It's so convenient. You can get help on your own time, at your own pace, schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus you can chat and text with your therapist.
These licensed professionals are specialized in things like depression, anxiety, trauma, LGBT matters, and anything you share with them is confidential.
There are over 3,000 licensed therapists across all 50 states, and there's four different ways you can communicate: text, chat, phone, or video.
BetterHelp is available on desktop, mobile web, Android, and iOS apps.
Plus, financial aid is available for those who qualify. It's secure, it's convenient, it's professional, it's affordable.
Best of all, it is truly an affordable option. Bravo TV's The Daily Dish listeners get 10% off your first month with discount code DISH. So why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/dish.
Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/dish. So we got the chance to chat with Amy Phillips, who a lot of you will know from her epic Housewives impressions or her reality show on Radio Andy. She's also the star of Bravo's latest digital series, Ex Housewife, which tells the story of the seventh Real Housewife of Dallas who was fired before season three. It's hilarious, and we'll put a link to that in the description. So here's that interview. So we are here with comedian extraordinaire Amy Phillips. Hey, Amy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am so great. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be on your pod.
Of course, of course. So a lot of listeners probably know you just from all of the Bravo-Lebe impressions that you've done in the past. So can you talk a little bit about how those impressions started?
Oh my God. Well, I started doing Rachel Zoe, if you remember Rachel Zoe from the Rachel Zoe Project. Of course, I mean, everybody does. Like, who wouldn't remember Rachel Zoe? She's bananas. But yeah, I've always done celebrity impressions, and I just decided to do randomly Rachel Zoe, and along with some other celebrity impressions that I was building a character reel. And so I threw her in there, and then I put the video up on YouTube, and I just got a lot of traction off of that one video in particular. And Watch It Happens Live was really cool because they asked if they could air that on their show. So then I just ended up going down the rabbit hole of Bravo, and that's when I sort of fell in love with all the programming on Bravo. I started watching The Real Housewives of New York, and I discovered one Ramona Singer, who, you know, we all fall in love with at some point in our lives. And so I started doing an impression of her and, you know, her Pinot Grigio. Then Watch What Happens Live reached out again. They said, well, we want to play this video. Can we do that? And as it turns out, Ramona Singer saw it. She liked it. And then she hooked up the situation where she said, I want to be on Watch What Happens Live, and I want you to be the bartender as me. And so she kind of orchestrated that. And I went to New York, got to meet everybody at Watch What Happens Live, Andy Cohen. And Andy said he loved my videos and he wants me to keep doing them. So sort of a marriage was born or made with me doing impersonations of Bravo people. And I just kept going from there. I didn't know how long that lasts, but it's lasted a long time. There's enough content out there of Housewives, and it just keeps me motivated to do more impressions of it as Housewives unfold.
Right. Yeah. These ladies will keep you on your toes.
Yeah, exactly. No lack of content.
Right. So Ramona liked the impression. Have any Housewives or Bravo celebrities reached out to be like, I don't like the way you do that?
Not that I know of. Mm. I mean, no, they haven't said anything to me, and I don't know. You know, they've always been supportive. Erica Jane just said something about it the other day. Someone asked her about my impression, and she said, you know, I helped you with it when I was on her radio show. I told her it's all in the nose. And she said, you know, that it, you know, imitation is the highest form of flattery. And I think they get that, you know, because I'm not coming from a very main angle. It's more of a celebration, and it's kind of making light and a comedic angle in which I'm kind of exaggerating their, you know, behaviors rather than necessarily trying to tear them down. Right. So I think that's why they probably, you know, appreciate it.
So recently you just got to meet probably a whole slew of housewives that you hadn't met before at Andy's baby shower.
Oh my God. Yes. I'm still on cloud nine because of it. I really am.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that? What was it like being around all of them?
Yes. I don't want to stop talking about it. Like it was great. Can you imagine being there? Like that's what it was like. It's like, you know, I felt like I didn't want to have my phone out all the time and Instagramming and storing all the time. But then at the same time, I wanted to. So it was a real inner struggle, you know, because I wanted to be in the moment. And I feel like I was. So I got to meet Nene, Marlo. These are some of the housewives I hadn't met before or interviewed on my radio show on Sirius XM Radio Andy, Reality Checked, Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. so, yeah, I got to sit next to Brandy and Stephanie from Dallas, who I had met before because of this ex-housewife project. Mm-hmm. And on my other side, I met Shannon Bedore. I had met her previously as well. But I'm trying to think of some of the other housewives that I had met for the first time that was just, oh, I met Phaedra. Because, you know, Phaedra was there. So that was amazing. Camille, I met Camille. And seeing Lisa Rinna up on a table dancing and Ramona up there and Kyle do the splits in person. I mean, it was like, yeah, it was like that. This is my heaven, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. You saw so many iconic things just in one place.
Yeah, I know. I know. It was crazy. I was like, am I dead?
So if you had to pick, who would you say is your favorite housewife?
You know, it's Ramona Singer. It is. She was like the first housewife that got me hooked on the franchise. And she's so unapologetic in her behavior. And even though she's called the apologizer, you know, she apologizes so many times, but she just is who she is. She makes me laugh the most out of any housewife. And, she really does believe in women supporting women. Okay. Because she supported me. Yeah, it's Ramona. It's Ramona 100%.
So does that mean she's also your favorite housewife to impersonate?
You know, that always changes. So like, right. I love doing Lisa Rinna and I love doing Vicky Gunvalson. I do them on my radio show a lot. It kind of goes back and forth. I like talking like Vicky. It'd be like, I'm working right now and I can't talk cause I'm working and I love Steve Lodge for Anaheim and I got to go down to LA. Woo!
Oh my God. That was so good.
I like ramping up Vicky Gunvalson and, you know, I like Cameron from Dallas. Girl. So it just like, it totally changes, you know, it just depends on what kind of mood I'm in. But,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, which franchise would you like to be on? Is there a particular city?
To be on? Yeah. Oh boy. Well, New York is my favorite franchise to watch. so I guess I would say New York. You know, I'm kind of struggling to say Beverly Hills because I would love to be able to be in the Beverly Hills mix, have all that money and live here. But I think my heart is telling me New York.
Wow. And you have to follow your heart. Do any other celebrity impressions outside of Housewives? I know you had mentioned Rachel Zoe was kind of how you got your start, but who else do you do?
Ellen DeGeneres here. It's weird, but I've been doing Ellen for probably 20 years. Isn't it great? I don't know. I've always done impressions since I was like 12. So, and then once I got older and I got into the comedy, sketch, improv scene, and stand up, I kind of continued to do more and try to hone that skill. So, like, you know, Ellen, my God, I do anything from Liza Minnelli to Leslie Mann, and I'm just kind of freaking out because I mean, I've never been in a podcast before, and I'm 40.
I have to ask you to do your Liza because I love Liza Minnelli.
Oh, well, it's nice to get that kind of recommendation, and it's nice to get that kind of suggestion because I don't always feel appreciated, you know what I mean? It's hard. It's hard.
That's incredible.
I love you for it.
That's amazing. Now, have you ever actually been mistaken for a housewife yourself?
I don't think so.
You're like, I wish.
I mean, no. I am so, like, low maintenance looking. I don't think that would happen. Actually, I will say this. Anthony Lella from Watch What Happens Live at the baby shower said something so funny to me. Because I was wearing nice dress and my hair was done as well as it was going to get done. And my makeup was done as well as it was going to get done by myself. And he was like, oh my God, you look so pretty. You look like a first season housewife. And I was like, that is such a compliment because there's so much room to grow. And we all know the first season, they don't look good. But I appreciate that.
It's so true. Even when you watch like old episodes and you see what they all wore to like the reunions, you're like, what is happening?
I mean, it's so like, and I love Leanne Locken's first season look. You just can't get any better than that with like the pink eyeshadow and the blush. Yeah, amazing.
All right, so now if you had to pick your all-star roster of housewives, so let's pick one housewife from each city for like this all-star cast, who would you select from each franchise?
Oh, okay. All right, well, that's okay. Let's start with Beverly Hills. I'm going to go with Lisa Rinna. Let's go on down to Orange County. I'm going to go with Vicki Gunvalson. Mm-hmm. Let's go over to Atlanta. Oh, of course, NeNe Leakes. And how about New Jersey? I mean, Teresa, of course. Mm-hmm. And these all seem kind of generic in a way. But
well, a lot of the OGs, I mean, in some cases. Yeah. So that makes sense.
I know. And then New York, it's tough because I really love Bethany. So I might even, I'm not sure Bethany or Ramona, but that's a toss up. That's really tough. I'm going to just have to, oh God, that's tough. I'll go with Ramona.
Okay.
And Potomac, I love Giselle. So I think I got it covered, huh?
Wow. Wow. That's a good roster. That's a great, great lineup.
I think it's solid. I think it's solid. I could have gone B-sides with that, but I decided to go A-sides. The hits. I took the hits.
Right, right.
I went with the ones that everybody wants to hear, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So now we wanted to go through, we had some fans send in questions for their Bravolabs that they wanted to ask. So we figured we could ask you the questions and you could respond as the Bravo Celebrity. These are all pretty much housewives.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm ready.
So Kimberly Medici wants to know, Lisa Vanderpump, how does she rise above and never lose her temper when surrounded by people who are being obnoxious? She's always so poised.
That's because everyone I see is a broken little bird.
That's perfect. That's so good. Okay, so Lisa Warden wants to know, why does Danielle Staub lie so much?
You know, it hurts me. It hurts me that you think I lie. I don't lie. Everybody thinks that I lie. You know, it hurts me. Okay? Margaret, Dolores, Melissa. Who's saying that about me? Margaret, Dolores, Melissa, Teresa? Melissa, Dolores? Who? Who said that?
That's amazing. So Linda Ringhausen wants to know, Lisa Vanderpump, may I have dinner with you and Ken on your beautiful veranda?
Of course, darling, please. And I'll have all the puppies and the ponies and the boo-boos and the cuckoos will be out with us. And it'll be the sexiest night of your life.
Awesome. Bianca Elena Ramos says, Kate Chastain, why are you so cool?
I'm so cool because I was born that way and I live on a yacht.
That is perfect.
Wait, maybe I have a Kate Chastain.
I think you have a Kate Chastain. Yeah, I think you should explore that. Susan Collins wants to know, Lisa Rinna, what was your favorite tagline you ever had?
My favorite tagline, honey, was "Don't hustle the hustler, please, baby."
So, Amy, talk a little bit about the digital series we have, Ex Housewife.
Oh, I'm so excited about this. It is such a fun series. And if you like Bravo Celebrities and you want to see them out of their element, you know, and acting and in a situation that they're not really in, you have to watch it. Because like Shannon Bedore, Sonia Morgan, Stassi and Kristen, Lala Kent, Carson Kressley, they're all in it in these different episodes. And they're playing a very pivotal role in the story of the character that I play called Bree Dupree, who is the ex-housewife of the Real Housewives of Dallas that you didn't know existed. And she was kicked off because of a scandal. You'll have to watch to find out why. But it's a comedic series and it is just, it was a fun romp.
It's so much fun to watch. And everyone that you mentioned does such a good job in it. It's so hilarious. Right?
Yeah. Oh, and Andy Cohen too. Andy Cohen is in it twice. So right. It's, yeah. And yeah. I thought he kind of gets the award for best actor, I have to say.
Oh, wow. We should do like an award ceremony now that it's over.
I would love that. Yes.
All right, Amy. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. And congratulations on Ex-Housewife.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Eric. I really appreciate it. I love your podcast. Oh, thanks for having me on.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Ready for Rose and Thorn?
Yes.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What's your rose?
So my rose actually comes from Jackie and the Real Housewives of New Jersey reunion. And I don't even know if she meant it, but she made a Kelly Ben Simone reference with, "You're down here and I'm up here."
Yes.
I was like, oh my God, it's one of my favorite things to quote just because I am obsessed with that scene. And I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast or not, but when Kelly and Bethany had that fight and the restaurant Brass Monkey that they went to is where Danny and I had our first date.
Yes.
And where we went on our 1-year anniversary. So it's just like, I love everything about that. So just for Jackie to make that reference, I was like, oh my God, I don't even know if you meant to do that, but I'm obsessed with it. Okay, what's your rose?
So my rose was this little glimpse that we got of Jerit in this episode where Jagger tells her to be a robot and she like acts like a robot mom.
Mommy, you're my robot, so you only listen to what I say.
Yes, sir.
I would like peanut butter.
Here you are, Jagger.
I do think she could be a little over the top, but like, isn't that what we love about Beverly Hills? And I think she's such a good mom. I don't know. I love Dorit.
Here's the thing. You know what? I really have grown to appreciate Dorit as a housewife. Like, I am actually very happy she's on the show. I definitely am so grateful that she's back.
What was your thorn?
My thorn was from Vanderpump Rules and Lala, like, straight up wearing a bathrobe while wine tasting in Solvang.
Yeah, I was not a fan.
I'm sure that item cost $1,000 or something, but it just, like, didn't look... It looked like she rolled out of bed and just was like, let's go wine tasting today. I don't know.
Yeah.
What about you? What's your thorn?
My thorn was the one misstep I felt Dennis took during his proposal. So, as they're walking up the stairs, Portia can sense that, like, oh, should I put on my heels? Like, she wants to look good, and obviously they're filming, so I'm sure that comes into play, but she's pregnant, so she's wearing these sandals. He's like, no, you're good. Dennis, you knew you were about to propose. Why not let her change into the heels?
It's true. It's all documented now, all the pictures that were taken. Like, she's got those flats on.
Oh, not cool, Dennis.
Not cool. I mean, now he knows. Now he knows. Well, I think that about does it for this week.
I am spent.
Bye.
Bye. Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me.